Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and happy new year to all the listeners out there. Welcome to the first show of the new year of the Draft Doctors. And seeing as it is January, we're going to kick it off with our top 30 Dream Team rankings for the year. That's right, when the calendar hits January, we talk all things rankings. So we'll be going through our rankings for the next few weeks, and we're going to split it up, make it a little bit different this year. We're going to have one purely on Dream Team, and then next week we'll move to the Super Coach. So if you play either format, you can pick and choose as to what you listen to. Happy New Year to you, Steve.
Oh, and to you, Jono, and of course to all the listeners out there. Pretty pumped to hit ranking season, Jono. Very excited. A little bit worried about the blowback I'll face on Twitter. There was a bit of controversy after I updated the people that I heard the Gravy song, and they weren't really impressed when I said it's I mean, it's fine. Like, it's no Mr. Bob Dobelina. It's no Cosmic Girl. It's no Tucker's Daughter. But it's fine, right? It's fine. It's just, I don't understand why people, how is this someone's favorite song? Like, that's what I want to know. It's just a very, it's fine.
Yeah, I listen to it. I'm just like, I don't get it. But, you know, music's not my thing. I'm more of a movie and TV kind of guy, so.
Yeah, no, you have no rhythm, Jono.
Well, that is true. I have two left feet, so. And we welcome to you, Mr. McLaughlin.
Yeah, g'day, guys. And I'll tell you what, I think I've had enough gravy for 1 year after that festive season. I think there were at least two containers of Gravox completely wiped. So it's basically running through my veins, and I don't know what the song is, but I assume that my veins would appreciate it.
Well, 8 cups of gravy to keep the doctor away, isn't that what you're supposed to do?
In fact, I'm very sick at the moment, so that's probably part of the reason why. Too much Gravox.
Gravox poisoning, there's a new one. But I did see your older brother got on a winner over at Royal Ascot there. And any moolah coming your way there, Cam?
Yeah, I actually have a weekly phone call with them just to ask for money. And so far, they haven't given me any. So, fair enough. So good.
Again, we are without the Statesman this week. He is off sunning himself. I think last time we heard he was in Wangaratta, so up in country Victoria there. Not too sure what the hell you do up in Wangaratta, but I'm sure Statesman will find some sort of winery up there to keep himself amused. But we are going to kick off the year with our top 30 Dream Team ranks. Steve's going to run us through off his list, and then we're just going to basically shit can all his picks.
It's a solid strategy, and it's worked year in, year out. So I just want to break down for the people. We're just going to go through this, and this is assuming it's a 10-team league, 5-7-1-5 on-field format. Okay, so if you're in a 3-4-1-3, or you're in a 2-ruck, God help you. These just take it with a grain of salt, because obviously things change in the different structures and different formats. So coming in at number one, I've got Tom Mitchell, pretty stock standard. Actually, I think the top three is going to be pretty stock standard. Tom Mitchell, Brody Grundy, and Jack McRae. For me, it gets a little bit interesting at number four. It's Josh Kelly's season for me, so I've got him there. Steve Cornelio at number five. Lachie Neal at number six. Zach Merritt at number seven. First position player, not named Brody Grundy, in at number eight. And this is a huge change for me, Jono. I've gone for forwards before defenders in the first tier. So I've got Patrick Dangerfield in at number eight, Devin Smith in at number nine, and the Heen Dog, Isaac Heaney, in at number 10. Now, that's a pretty hot take. I will understand that. Do you boys want to discuss the top 10?
Yeah, a couple of different ones there to me. Where did you say you had McRae?
Three.
Yeah, so I had him four. I actually had Danger too. I just think people are going to be hot on him. And especially with the news that came out over the Christmas New Year period that Ablett will not be spending as much time in the midfield. So how much you can believe into that, I've slightly put Dangerfield up for me. Grundy, people are all going to be about that average and having a solid ruckman. I've got him at three. Kelly at five for me. Devin, he's in my top 10 as well. But Lloyd, you said Lloyd was in your top 10?
No, Lloyd's at 11, so he's just missing out.
So that's, I had Paddy Cripps in my top 10.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. He was the cutoff for my tier. I really wanted to squeeze him in, and I could see him. He's either going to be at 15 or at 8, so I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, he's fantastic, yeah. and his last half of the season was just unbelievable. But I'm a bit cagey about Dangerfield getting back to those lofty heights. I know he's going to go very highly in a Supercoach draft, but in a Dream Team draft, I'm a little bit cagey.
Cage. Okay.
So I'm bullish on Danger. I like that he's coming in a few kilos lighter, and he has outwardly said that he wants to be the best midfielder in the competition next year. I think he's got the stones to do it. He's got the history to do it. I'm as a first draft. And this might be a hot take. I'm taking Danger forward. At number one, and I'm letting Titch and Grundy go.
Yeah, see, for me, it's really hard to get on board with that. Like we've spoken about, when there's so many good players in a team who can win their own ball, and I have this giant fear that there's actually not going to be as many possessions as last year, like on a game-by-game basis. I think, like, with the way the game's set up, it might be a bit more free-flowing and fast, and things might trend a little bit more like Richmond. You know, we saw the Richmond players really take a massive hit in their scoring across the board. I have a great fear about that, so I'm probably looking for the most... Like, and I think McRae will drop some points, but I'm certainly looking for Titch and Grundy in the first two because their situations haven't greatly changed. Grundy, I guess... could drop a bit, but I think he's pretty safe to at least bump over 110.
Yeah, easy. On board with that as well.
Yep, I'd agree with that. And the only other differences that I've really got were trade out your forwards, well, besides Danger, but for the defenders. So I bring in Lloyd into the top 10, and Laird sits there as well.
Yeah, see, the reason I haven't got... I've put the forwards... above the defenders is I've actually got more in that top tier. Like, I'm pretty confident in Dangerfield, Devon and Heaney. And I'm pretty confident in Lloyd, Laird, Whitfield and Witherden. And I mean, honestly, if you wanted to throw Blakely in there, I think you could. I'm probably just want to see how things play out with Blakely over the preseason. I've still got... I'm sitting on the fence about whether he plays pure mid or not. I know some very astute people have said he will. That's fine. I'd still like to see it first. So that's just the reason I've got the forward slightly in front. I mean, defenders, at the end of the day, they could absolutely brain it. But there's also a reason to think that Lloyd and Laird come back to the pack a fraction, if that makes sense. Like, with Lloyd, his splits with and without Mills in the team were a little bit different. And same with Laird. You've got him with Brody Smith and Wayne Miller are now in that back line. It looks like a sort of points, a problem for points. And you know, if Tali is going to miss any sort of time, maybe they don't rebound the ball as easy. But again, we don't know anything about this kick-out rule. So...
And the hands in the back rule. I mean, the way the umpires are going to interpret that, there might be more freeze against the defenders. Therefore, you're not scoring as many points. You're actually losing points. So that's why. And also, I've got the forwards high because they, just by looking at it, they tend to slide away after the top 20 a little bit more than the defenders.
Yeah, and it's only this one tier where I've got the forwards above the defenders. Like, it'll revert to normal after this. But anyway, I'll press on with the 11 to 20 range. And so I've got my defenders here. Jake Lloyd, Rory Laird, Lachie Whitfield, Alex Witherden. I think you can throw the top three up in any way you like, but I quite like Lloyd myself. Those kicking numbers are fantastic. Laird, I do expect a little bit of regression, but I think he's just so safe. And Whitfield, well, I mean, he's a star. And Witherden, what can you say? 15, I've got Patrick Cripps. Obviously, we spoke about him just a second ago with Cam, and I don't have any problems if you wanted to take him in that top 10. 16, I've got Matt Crouch. 17, Andrew Gaff. 18, Treloar. 19, Nat Fyfe. And 20, Elliot Yeo.
See, that's interesting. You don't even have the Gorn dog in there, Big Maxi Gorn. I've got him at number 12, pretty similar. Next batch, I've got Lloyd 11, Gorn 12, Gaff 13, Treloar, Laird, Heaney, Crouch. I've actually got Sicily ahead of Whitfield. I think with Zach Williams coming back to that team, Whitfield regresses maybe 5 to 8 points. So he's at the moment, he's sitting as my, what's that, fifth defender at the moment, sixth defender, Lucky Whitfield. So not as high as him than you are.
Really? Because he scored well the year before.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Like, he won't be that 100 average. I see more a 90 to 95 bracket, whereas the other guys, I think the defenders ahead of him can go push 100 quite easily.
I think Gorn, I think it's a good point on Gorn at 12. I have him in the same sort of area, but at 14. And I just want to elaborate a little bit on the reason why. Like, I didn't really explain it too well, but the danger as number one, Steve, you've got Yo at number 20.
Yeah.
That to me is exceptional value when you think of, if I have a positional differentiator in Dangerfield getting potentially 15 points higher, and on the way back I can get someone like Yo and then lock in a defender, that's a, to me, that's three very top tier people in every position.
Yeah,
every position. Sorry,
this is where that plan's going to fall apart. And not to be a jerk about this, but if you go Danger, like the positional advantage thing, you lose it straight away. Like, oh, I make like, let's say Brody Grundy, and he's going to be 15 points better than the next ruck. What happens at the 20 and 21 turn if all the gun defenders are gone? Well, I've lost 8 points, and because my top midfielder is Elliot Yeo, who's probably not going to average what he did at the back end of the year, he's probably going to be very solid.
6 overall.
But yeah. Bang, there goes your other 10 points. Oh, my positional advantage is fucking gone, and I'm the only area I've really got something that's strong is the forwards, which we've seen over the years isn't the most important position. So it's just one of those things. Like, I think that whole positional advantage thing, where you spike it is where you get the guy coming who really breaks out, like Sicily last year. If you got him in the eighth round, that was where you got the positional advantage. Not because, you know, you drafted Rory Laird and he was 10 points better. Well, I mean, he wasn't even the best. So it's like, and that's the thing with all these projections, is they're just projections. We're going to be wrong. Like,
well, that's right. We're going blinded this year, whereas previous years we've got an idea of how the scoring might work. We've got no idea how the point scoring is going to work.
NFI. Yep, completely no idea at all. And look, that's a fair point as well around bringing it back a little bit. But it can go either way, right? Like, there are...
It's not going to cost you a leg.
Yeah, correct.
But I don't think it's the league winner. Like, think about it this year. Like, right, what you got with Brody Grundy last year, right? He was going in round 4 and beyond. That was where he was going. And you got him averaging 120. Let's say he averages 120 again. You're not getting him in round 4. You're getting him at pick 2, or you're not getting him. That sort of thing. That's why, like, yes, he'll be a good player, but I don't think he's going to win you a league. He was a league winner last year because you got him at the value.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
And where did you say you had Blakely, sorry?
I didn't.
Didn't, okay, that's right. Thought we mentioned him in that next tier.
I mentioned he could be.
Could be, okay. And to finish off your final three there, third tier, sorry.
So number 21, I got Angus Brayshaw. Number 22, I got Seb Ross, and Seb Ross is doing my head in. I'm having a really hard time with him because, honestly, if he was the top midfielder at the end of the year, I wouldn't be shocked. But I just can't pull the trigger on ranking him that high. Potentially, he could be in the, you know, in there with Adam Treloar. Well, I mean, he's in the same tier as Adam Treloar, but maybe he could be higher. Seb Ross at 22. 23, I have got Connor Blakely. 24, I got Cade Simpson. I'm still just super, super keen on Cade Simpson, especially with the injury to Doc. 25, I got Sicily. 26, I got McLean. 27, Dunkley. 28, Many Goalers. Is that a real name? Someone has that name? Many Goalers.
Many Jolers.
Many Jola. Many Jola.
Many Jolers.
Yeah.
Remember Joles, the candy? So good. Anyway, Many Gola.
No, brilliant. I don't. I don't, actually.
Joles.
Are they the black currant things?
Yeah, they're so good. They're,
yeah, okay, I remember.
Joles.
I thought. Yeah. There's a town near here called Joel.
That's where they manufacture them.
That's where they manufacture them. 29, I got Clayton Oliver. I expect a bit of a dip, but again, he's super safe. And 30, Dustin Martin.
Yeah, see, I didn't even have Dusty in my top 30.
I don't have a problem with that.
So, yeah, pretty similar to mine. I had Blakely at 11. That's 21. Dunks at 22. Yo, 23. Oliver, 24. McLean, 25. Simpsons, 26. Brayshaw, 27. Seb Ross, 28. Then Menegola. And I've actually got Goldie coming in at number 30.
What's with you boys in the rucks?
I don't know. I'm all about Goldie this year. I think he can bounce back big time this year.
I don't know how you can have Gorn at number 12, by the way. Sorry, I forgot to spitfire on that one.
Oh, we can backtrack. That's fine.
Oh, do you want to? Let's get through this, and then we'll go back to Gorn.
Yeah, like you said, you had Ross at 22. I've got him at 28. Not too far apart, but I'm having a hard time. I'm putting him up and putting him down. I think he's going to fit somewhere in that 20 to 30 bracket somewhere.
Yeah,
okay. Genuinely like watching the kid play. Like he's a very exciting midfielder, and he reminds me a lot of Sam Mitchell when you know, in his early years. I think he's what 26 now or something similar. Seb Ross. I think he can go to another gear, and I've got him very early in that tier at 21. Actually,
I don't think that's super high. I reckon there'll be people who have him in the teens.
I can see that too. I mean, he was in the top 15. He finished like 12th or 13th overall, so in Dream Team. So I can certainly see that.
The only thing that worries me about St Kilda is that they've added Hannanbury, and their midfield's a bit of a shit fight at the best of times. Like, he's the best, but, you know, we've seen Jack Stephen be good before, for God's sake, and no one's even mentioned. I haven't heard anyone mention him this preseason. That's how far he's fallen.
Baby legs. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Average of 90 odd. Yeah, had some really good games at the back end, but what do you do with the St Kilda? St Kilda's hard to rank this year, I think.
It's like Steel. Steel could be anything, but.
I think you got some value in Steel, but. It's pretty. How. Your thoughts on Oliver? Why have you got him at 29?
Why is that horrible?
It's not horrible, but he's on the periphery there, missing out on top 30 when he's. Yeah, 109, 100.
Yeah, he's averages
in the last couple of years.
I think his average is about 7 points lower with Jack Viney in the team over the last 2 years. Like, he's more of a 102 sort of player.
Yeah.
So that
coming back to the pack.
Yeah, just, you know, again, it comes back to the thing of more talented contested ball players around you. It's like Angus Brayshaw's in front because he's inside outside. So
yeah,
and I mean, honestly, Angus Brayshaw. Heck, like, it should be a question. Why is he just bang? Oh, you're straight into the top 30 because you had a good season.
And that's right. Yeah,
like,
that's
honestly, right. The guy takes a knock to the head, and it might fall off.
And then it's a bump for Clayton Oliver.
Because I've never heard of helmet swag.
Well, it'll be interesting how Cade Collegiassney comes in next year. That's one guy I can't rank right now.
Just don't. Just leave him out. Just have a floating blank space.
I wish I could.
So, Cam, did you want to
that was that was his nickname back at the Gold Coast, wasn't it? A floating blank space.
Isn't that the whole team?
The only other one that I will add in, I had Oliver, at 22. A little bit higher, and main reason being is I think he can actually get better. And so even though there was an average discrepancy when Jack Viney was in the team, I see Oliver pushing another gear. And I think most coaches will be a little bit off the game if they aren't developing their inside ball winners as outside ball winners as well, given the transition of the rules. I think there's going to be a lot more free-flowing game, which requires a lot more run. And if they're getting people like Clayton Oliver, who are still relatively young, and, you know, a massive ball, if they're not transitioning him to an outside player, then they're wasting a lot of talent.
That's a problem. And that's a problem I've sort of wondered myself because, and I've sort of given a bump to the guys like Angus Brayshaw and Seb Ross because a guy like Clayton Oliver, he wins so much of his ball in a contested fashion. It's a real worry. And it's like, especially a guy like Hugh Greenwood, who he won like 70-something percent of his balls contested. Like, how are you going to score?
And it's the handball the kick ratio as well. Like, he's Daniel Cross Mark III, so...
Yeah.
And that was the knock on Oliver last year. They said he didn't kick the ball enough, and then when he did kick it, he was freaking horrible at kicking the ball. He could only kick it 25, 30 metres at max, so he's going to have to play deep if he wants to be a goal-kicking midfielder as well. But I can see upside to him as well if he does get that aspect of the game. I mean, look at Cripps. He was primarily under and winning his own ball, but transitioned a little bit last year. So
yeah, it was interesting how good he was when Mark Murphy was in the team, Cripps as well.
Mm. So who have you got? Have you got any players there that you mentioned that might have just missed out in your top 30 there?
Well, let's get double back to Max Gorn, because it was actually a nice little segue. We were talking about players like the more contested balls and the more free flowing game and all that sort of thing. And Max Gorn, like 45 hitouts a game, like that's like 40% of his score, just about. Like, if that comes back a fraction, and the whole Proust thing is just, I can't have any ruckmans in my top 30. The Proust thing is just terrifying to me. I don't understand how people are going to be laissez-faire about it.
I think it's a Mason Cox situation where we're going to be shit scared about it, but Mason Cox plays a fraction of the percentage in the ruck where it's not going to really affect his score too much.
So what are they going to do? Play him out of the square?
Quite possibly. That's
come on.
But he's got a great tank, Proust, so who knows how they're going to play him. Who the hell knows? Maybe they play May forward and Proust back. I don't know.
So I've given a little bit of a bump to the rucks who don't rely on hitouts to build their score for my ruck ranks. I mean, we're doing ruck rankings next week, so we can get into it a bit more there. But Grundy and Gorn, obviously. Sorry?
Supercoach top 30 or...
Well, fuck, no one wants a Supercoach top 30. Don't worry about that. Hey, they're getting their
eyes. Hi to all our Supercoach players out there.
I'm a Supercoach player myself, so I'm just... But, like, if we're doing ranks, like, they're getting two shows in a week. It's fine. Like, let's not worry about it. They're getting their own show this year, the Supercoaches, so they should be very happy. So Grundy and Gorn, that's great. But then I've given a bump to these guys who don't rely on hitouts, like Martin, Nank. Like, I got a Nank at 6. I think that's pretty fair. The Hoff, Cruiser, McAvoy, all these guys get a nice bump for mine this year in terms of ruck rankings. Because we just don't know how many stoppages there's going to be. Is there going to be more? Is it going to be less? Probably less.
Yeah, well, they do win the game first, so that's true. So.
Yeah, I actually think it's pretty interesting in regards to, well, my next ruck is around the 35 bracket, and it's Goldie coming in there. I think he is, but that being said, I think Goldie, Martin, I think I've got Nank, even Cruiser and Witts. I think they're all probably, you could throw a blanket over the lot of them and you won't get exceptional value. It's more of a, I need to get one of those, probably four, to still have a decent ruck department for the year.
Yeah, I just, it's the same year old thing for me. I don't want to spend a pick on a ruck. Like, I don't care if I have Goldstein because he's so up and down and good and bad. Just give me Nank at the end. Give me Witts at the end. I don't care. Like, you know, in round 20, when everyone else is picking blokes they're going to be dropping in 2 weeks anyway, just get your ruck.
Pick up three rucks and see which one's the best, what?
Hey, it's not crazy, but I mean, look at what you did last year. I mean, it's just crazy. You could have, you know, Tom Bellchambers was good. Callum Sinclair was good. The waiver wire. Benny McAvoy is fine. Like, all these guys. I mean, I've got Ryder ranked at like 13.
Yeah, I've got him down this year.
You could have Mumford at 16. Like, if you're in a Supercoach draft, tell me you're not just going to grab Mumford at the end of the arse end of the draft.
Mm.
So, although he is someone who needs those hit out points. That's his career average of like two kicks a match.
Freeze against about -4. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also pretty interesting in regards to the strategy for if you take a second ruck or not. So we had a bit of a split in my league in regards to about 50% of the league took a second ruck during the draft and 50% didn't. And then we saw, I guess, through the season, those second rucks get kicked from the team and thrown back on the waiver. And so if you've got, say, 15, say we're in a 10-team league, and 15 of your rucks go, you're probably still getting that Lyset or that rider and at the end. So it might be a pretty good take.
Yeah, and that's going to be one of those things that's league-dependent, because I know some leagues require you to have a in-position emergency, so it's more likely that two rucks will go. So I'm certainly not waiting till round 20 in those leagues. I might be scooping my ruck up in round 12, which is still, nice and late compared to round 2 or 3.
3, 4, 5.
I just can't take a set. I can't have a ruck that's not Brody Grundy in my top 30. I don't even like putting Brody Grundy in there, to be honest. Like, I don't think if I was picked 2, it'd be league dependent that I took him, I'll be honest.
It's good to see there's a lot of options that we can look at, especially for that top 10. I mean, it could be defenders going in the first round. You could see 2 or 3. You could see 2 or 3 forwards. It's all down to the draft day. It makes for a good draft this year. I honestly cannot wait for it.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, John. I really think it's a fantastically interesting draft as well this year. You can go any damn way you want. There's no rules this year. It's awesome. Not like last year, we knew what to do. This is how you attack it. Get mids, get defenders, forget the rest. You'll be fine.
I think it's going to be really interesting as well. Like, there's people like me who go into a draft and they stick to their strategy the whole way through, and you kind of know what the outcome is from the start. And you're like, I think I'm pretty comfortable with how my team is at the end of the draft. I think every team at the end of the draft will have no idea if they're going to be good or not.
No.
Because there's so much variability in regards to the rules, in regards to the way the game's going to be played. Like, it's probably the most open draft we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I would agree, 100%.
Maybe that can be a New Year's resolution there, Cam. Just throw out your planning for the year.
Yeah, well, it's already out the window at the moment, actually. And I'm just trying to decide whether or not I'm throwing furfies for the people in my league that listen to this show or not, but no, Danger Ford, definitely number one.
Wow, that's hot. If you're in a Supercoach draft, I've got no problem with it. Dream Team, yikes. You better hope he returns to form.
I think he'll be absolutely fine.
The Geelong home of love right there.
And if he just spuds out but pops you out a nice 105 average, you can go, hey.
Which he 106 this year, so
not even the best forward.
No, he wasn't. And just to wrap it up, who'd you have there on the periphery of who just missed the cut of your top 30 there?
Okay, so interesting, Jonathan. I will say
I've had my name said various ways, but that is not one of them. That's a first,
Jonathan. Probably T-Mac and Buddy are the guys I'd feel really happy drafting those two guys in round 4 if they were my F1.
I had Duncan floating around there as well. Outside.
Duncan's my next mid. You don't have Withered in your top 30?
Nope.
Get the fuck off this show, Jay.
Wow.
I'm cagey on him. Everyone's talking him up. No. Currently sits at defender is he of mine right now? Seventh. He's my seventh defender.
Jonathan.
It was the night before Christmas.
That's super hot take, man. You're not going to have any shares of him, and I guess that doesn't bother you. That's fine.
No, it doesn't. But what do you project him averaging? I mean, he's 88-89.
Oh, I think he can go to over 100. Will he? I don't know. I think I don't think he has a super low range. Like, I don't think things are going to go super pear shaped for him.
Oh no, I don't get that. I just don't see that 10-11 point increase. That's all. I see maybe a 5 point bump, but not so much. Not a 10 point bump.
Well, I think it can happen because if Brisbane's midfield's a little bit better, and keep in mind they've lost Dane Beams, which hashtag lost.
Lockie Neal.
But they've brought in Lockie Neal, Lyons. The other midfielders are a bit more developed. Maybe they can put a bit more pressure on through the midfield, and maybe they get a few more easier turnovers in the back half. Harris Andrews is there for the whole year. So, and I mean, third-year breakout, bit of a thing. I mean, you show me a defender who's averaged 88 in their first two seasons. Christ, man, people really like Callum Mills and Andrew McGrath. What have they done in their first 2 years? Not 88s.
Buggers all. Yeah, that's a fair point, fair point. I guess one of us will be right and one of us will be wrong, I guess.
Or he'll just, you know, go 93 and no one will be right or wrong.
Well, just maintain an 88 average.
That's it's still kind of probably a top 30, though. 93.
He's still in the top 10.
Yeah.
No, he's going to be their kicking guy, surely.
Yep.
I mean, Hodgie gets a bit more rest.
I just thought he was a top 10 defender, that's all.
Yeah, sure. Not a top 10.
No, a top. He is in my top 10. He's number 7 for me at the moment.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. It's still a big gap between, what have I got him, 14 overall, and you've got him, what, 33 or 34?
Roundabouts, yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Cam?
I was just going to segue on that Jared Lyons bit. He's not just outside my top 30, but someone is going to get a very nice present, I think, very late in the draft with Jared Lyons. I think he's going to be massive next year, but you couldn't take him early.
Yeah, I'm cagey on Lyons, cagey on him. I mean, they've got such a good spread of young kids coming through that they're going to give time to them to develop and still play Lyons as well.
You want to talk about if you think the game you need to be able to run, Cam, that is not Jared Lyons' wheelbag.
Wait, can it? No, still think he's going to be amazing. And also, did you say that you were cagey about a Lyons player? I mean, come on, that just writes itself. Anyone cagey Lyons player?
You're not a dad yet, Cam.
Lion in a cage. Lion in a cage. Come on.
God. Not a dad yet.
I don't know if you've watched the tally the last couple of weeks, but the last week they've had a lot of good Will Ferrell movies. Like they had Semi Pro, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers back to back.
Love Talladega.
So good. Sit down, Karen. Shut up.
What was I going to say? I think, yeah, someone who I really like is Tim Tirano, and I think losing the forward status is going to be really interesting. I think he's going to be one of those game changer picks. Game changer picks, or could be anyway. So I mean, you know, look, we could be sitting here next year doing the same thing, going, "Oh my god, there's five defenders who have averaged 120." That kick in rule really, really split the league up.
No, it will make for interesting drafting this year. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. We are going to our Supercoach or Ruck rankings, depending on how Steve Fizz
going to Ruck run sheet. Go to Rucks, Jono, and we'll do two shows in 1 week.
Okay, there we go. Forget Supercoach. We do apologise to our Supercoach listeners, but it's Dream Team Rucks for next week. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.